Chad Johnson coming in to go on breakfast television, the newest member of the Arizona Coyotes.
Shoelace tackle, get him in here.
Get him in here. He was in the building for about 5 seconds. Hey, get on the air. Good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you guys too. So thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for coming in.
Go Kyo.
Yeah, he's Coyotes.
He's a Coyote. I know. It's weird.
I know. I always get mixed up with the whole Phoenix, Arizona thing. So
yeah, that too.
Did I gotta say work on that.
Before we get into all of that stuff, I want to get out what it is you're doing. Now, I don't have all the details, but I hear you're getting in goalie gear and you're
potentially
going
yes.
down the building. I'm
yes.
worried for you.
Concerned. I know.
Have you done your homework on that? Tell us what you're doing.
So I'm a part of the Make-A-Wish Foundation. I've been an ambassador for 2 years now here in Calgary for the first year and last year in Buffalo. And this year there's an event. It's called Rope for Hope. It happens down July 6th at the Barclays Center.
Yeah.
Downtown here. And I'm going to be rappelling down, I believe it's 17 stories. Oh, I was told 5 to begin with. Then, then it went up to 10, then 15, and now it's
weird
17. So I don't really know what the height is actually. And then so I'm online at roweforhope.ca and all the... donations will go towards the Make-A-Wish Foundation. So
ropeforhope.ca. Well,
yeah. So the there was a tweet that went out a couple days ago on I believe the Flames page.
Okay.
When I was a part of that team. and then you know, so on social media and stuff too. So really trying to raise some funds there. And if I raise $15,000, I'll be rappelling in as of right now, a mismatch of goalie gear going down. So, yeah, we'll see.
So they couldn't get you to base jump off the Calgary Tower, huh?
No. They tried. But
need Arizona to send up some fresh gear just so you can scale
actually,
down
I could building. Probably, I could probably pull some old gear out from about 4 or 5 years ago, maybe.
Jeez. Yeah.
It's a good idea, actually, now that I think about it.
That's right.
Got a helmet. So
there you go.
I know that much.
So take us through. So Saturday comes around. Are you expecting anything as Saturday morning hits?
You know, and I've been a part in this in the NHL and pro hockey for a while. I know anything can happen, but I don't think you're ever expecting something. Mm-hmm. So it's always a surprise when you know you're involved in a trade. But again, I don't think I take it a lot better now than I think I did the first time around. I got traded a couple years ago.
And this whole Vegas thing, I think everybody's just kind of.
Yeah.
Really not sure how it's going to work,
what we're
going to see, and then all of a sudden, hey, we trade you.
Yeah, exactly.
So did Treliving call you to tell you he'd moved you, or
did
Arizona call you? Yeah, tell us about that phone call.
So actually, I was doing an event for the, for the Kinsmen, I think it is, the Kinsmen Lotto.
Okay.
I was up north, I was, you know, representing the Flames and sort of mingling with some people up there at about 12 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So I was between 11 and 12. I was supposed to do it, or 10 to 12, I was supposed to do an event. And my phone rang and it looked like a Calgary Flames number. You know, it has like that area code.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
The number, they're like 777 something down to Saddle Dome. And didn't answer it, missed it. Actually, someone from the fan was there as well. And he's like, oh, that's the Flames. That's the Flames, like a Saddle Dome number. I'm like, oh, interesting. Yeah. So I looked at it and I was like, oh, that's a Trebling's phone number. He checked his phone right away. He's like, oh, I know why. So, you know, the Flames acquired Mike Smith. So I was like, oh, interesting. So I went and called him and he let me know I was a part of the trade there to the Arizona Coyotes. And then, you know, you make calls from there. Moving forward, you talk to Chuka, I think his last name is there in Arizona. And then you talk to your agent and you kind of break things down right away, the team, and go through that process. And go from there. So,
and you got protected. Hey, they love you.
Yeah, right away.
Made a big impact in your short time in Arizona.
Seriously,
congratulations.
I really did. I think I played when I was there. I played like 4 games. I had a shutout or maybe 2 shutouts. And,
yeah,
you know, really good stats there. So, saw something in me.
Yeah, Chad Johnson, our guest here in studio now. John Shaker, right? I think is his name.
Shaker? Is it Shaker?
Okay. I think
Shaker.
Shuka, I don't know.
So what did he? I mean, he's not a short phone call, I know, but what did he tell you were going to be protected? Did he tell you what to expect?
Yeah, he just said, you know, they're going to protect me, and, you know, it was really quick. They said it had a lot to do there, and, you know, they'll have conversations with me later on in the week. So that's all it could really be said with my agent. Yeah, it's still kind of to come. So a lot of stuff I obviously probably can't say, but that was pretty much the conversation. So it was a, you know, he at that time he was still busy doing things with the expansion. I'm sure working on whatever else he was doing.
So you were very important for about 10 minutes.
Exactly.
There, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
We got to get a hold of Chad. Where's Chad? We got to talk to Chad.
Exactly.
Hey, Chad, how you doing? I got no time to talk to you. Chad.
Yeah, exactly.
I got to let you go.
Yeah, but, exactly. Well, it's usually a courtesy. You always get that. I've been trained before. It's always like, hey, you know, let's talk to this guy. You know, he called me and just kind of wanted to be, you know, fill me in, just say hello.
Yeah.
You know, which every GM always does. And then it's like, okay, I talked to you. You know, I did the phone call and then I got to get back to business. I have more important calls with, I'm sure, other GMs or whoever at that time, right? So.
So then you're sitting at this event.
Yeah, with the Flames jersey
on. Yeah. It's like,
exactly. You know, I just signed some autographs for some people and with the Flames jerseys. Yeah. So, you know, I'm kind of like, oh, man, I shouldn't have signed that guy's hat. So I signed some guy's hat and I felt that's the first thing I thought of when that happened. I'm like, oh, man, poor guy just got a new era hat and... now
I feel like he's okay with it if he's a big
Flames. He's probably all right.
How did you enjoy your time here? You've played in a bunch of markets for a guy that's been in the league. It seems like you certainly have got a nice collection of area code phone numbers.
I do. A lot of jerseys. Family that has too, a lot of jerseys. Yeah. And I mean, I loved my time here. You know, it was it's a hard market to play in. You know, you lose a couple games and everybody wants new goaltending. You know, which is, you know, it's what to expect in the Canadian market, right? People want to win, you know, it's how it is. So the high expectations, and I love that part of it. I'm from Calgary. I know that. So it was a lot of fun having my family around, my wife. She enjoyed it as well, having her family here to go to games with. And, you know, it was a lot of fun putting on the Flames jersey this, you know, past season.
Sure.
So, and then obviously to be able to be a part of the community. It was huge for me to be able to give back to the community and be around the community during the winter and, you know, be a part of the Flames Foundation and do that kind of stuff. You know, being from Calgary, you know, I know I was affected, by the little things that people do in a positive way when I was a kid growing up. So to be able to be on the other side and give back was special for me too. But, you know, it comes down to, you know, I love playing hockey and that's why I do it. And, you know, as you can see my past, I'm not afraid to switch teams.
That's right.
So
Chad Johnson, our guest here in studio. Now, you had an incredible run.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that, because there you hear about getting into a zone and it's very much a sports thing, but you found it and you were in it. And
I think, you know, for me, again, it's always been about just getting in a routine and getting on a roll. You know, it's I think any goalie, the more you play, the more comfortable you're going to feel in there, and then the more confident you're going to feel. So for myself, I've always felt like the more games I can play in, the better off I am. You know, I'm going to have, unfortunately, a couple games that I maybe don't get the results that I want to get, just like every other goalie in the league, no matter who you are. But I feel like when I play the most, I have success, and that's sort of what happened in that run there. You know, I won a couple games, and there was confidence in me and trust in me, and I really was given the opportunity to carry the team there for the 2 months, I think, November, December, and even a little bit in January there too. So as much as you have to earn it, you have to be given it as well. So
boy, isn't that the fine art of being a 1B or a 2? Because you played behind some great goalies like Lundqvist and Rask amongst others. I mean, that is the fine art, to be able to play well when you're not getting a ton of starts or a lot of reps.
It is, and you know, you have to look. You have to just worry about what you can control. And I have always done that. I feel like the last 2 years, really a 1B situation. You know, in Buffalo, I was in some way a starter because Robin went down the whole year. So I've played 46 games. So it's not really the starting numbers. But, and this year again, too, is sort of a 1B situation. So it's not easy getting sort of random starts here and there. And it's always easy when you have the confidence of the organization. They really just give it, you know, keep playing you no matter what, even if you lose a couple games.
Before we go any further, Robin Leonard, do you have any crazy crazy Robin Leonard
crazy
stories?
Because
he is crazy.
He's you know what, he is crazy, but he's a good guy. Like, he, you know, I got along with him really well. He just has I'd say the biggest story, he has a whole basement full of snakes and reptiles. And
there it is. There it is. Yeah. We talked to Rob Ray and he says he's a snake wrangler.
He loves snakes. Like, he just, you know, he I think Is there money in
Yeah, like, is there money in snakes? Is he selling these things?
There is tons of money in snakes. You'd be surprised. I'm dead serious. He breeds like this special kind of snake, and he is, you know, he sells the babies for lots of money. Like, I don't know what they're I don't know if they're poisonous. I'm sure they are.
Like, for a good snake, I'm paying a lot of money. I want some venom. All
I'm
right.
Sure, I'm sure there's obviously like some danger involved and with the cost, you know.
Because I guess when he's injured, he's not on the road or he's not with you every day. But he's he's a unique guy.
He really is, and he's passionate. He's a competitor. You know, he's ferocious like a snake.
I was gonna say when he goes off, he's he's badass.
Snake ass crazy. Yeah. Maybe.
So did you go? Have you been to his basement to see all his snakes?
I have not. So, but I know there was a story. A story one time where I think he left for the road, and I think it was he couldn't get help to get like. I don't know. He couldn't get help to look after the snakes, so he ended up just leaving like some food in the basement for the like for the snakes or whatever was going on, and he left his doors open, and like there were snakes wandering around his house after a while. Like it was just like a random story. But yeah, when he has a bad day, he buys a snake.
Yeah.
That's what he does.
Just
that's
turns why turns right around, yeah.
Yeah.
Like any, you know, normal guy would.
Yeah.
Terrible day.
Some people go and buy beer.
Yeah. Sports car.
Sports car, I guess.
A couple cold snakes all settled down.
Is that his midlife crisis, his snake farm? When you leave food out for snakes, like what does that look like? Like a pile of dead mice? Like, is that what you do? You just kind of...
Well, I think he fed, I hate to say it, but like rabbit and stuff too. I think he has some bigger snakes too, so... Again, I'm not a snake person, so...
Robin Leonard could solve the rabbit issue in Calgary.
We do need Robin Leonard.
We do have a big rabbit issue.
We do.
So
we
get up every morning, there's about 10 on my lawn.
Yeah.
Could be living underneath my lawn, too.
You mentioned briefly your very short stint in Arizona. It was Phoenix then. Four games, couple zeros or whatever it was.
One or I don't know what it was, one or two, but...
Sparkling numbers. I've just looked at them. What do you remember of Mike Smith, and what can you tell us about the goalie that the Flames have acquired?
Yeah, I think the first thing that you notice is he's a big guy, and he plays the puck really well. So I think as an opponent playing with him, too, you know that teams will change their approach to games. I know defensemen love him. You know, he controls the puck back there. Guys don't have to work as hard really to get back and get the puck. So I think the transition game's obviously better too. So it's hard to, you know, again, he wasn't necessarily, I guess, in some way on a good team. You know, they were pretty structured, but, you know, again, it'll be interesting to see how he does in a Calgary Canadian market and a better team, right? So Phoenix plays a little different than Calgary does. So, but he's a big guy and he plays the puck really well. So, yeah. And he's a guy that's a team's put a lot of faith in, and, a lot of the guys are here now in Calgary, really the ones that gave him the opportunity to be a starter there and have really played him every night in Phoenix. So, you know, I think there's that makes a lot of sense why it happened, because everybody, you know, Don Maloney and Tree there, they're the ones that really turned him into the starter when you think about it, which, you know, gave him the big contract there. So,
you were protected by the Coyotes. That said, are you confident that you're going to be a Coyote? I know you don't want to talk about this and you can't.
Yeah.
Let me put it this way. Do you have a better than 80-20 thought as to where you're playing next year?
I can't say. Either.
Really?
At the end of the day, it's like, I have no idea. You know, did I know I was going to get traded? You know, you really just don't know in this business. I think, you know, with my agent, I go over, you know, every team on a regular basis when things change, and I'll take a look at, you know, again, the Arizona's team and see what the best fit is for myself. Sure. So, you know, I know what I want to be in this league, you know, and I want to reach that potential. So, you know, if come July 1st, I'm an Arizona Coyote, then that's awesome. If that's the best fit for me and that's a good team that I want to be a part of moving forward for my career, and you know, but you never know. Right now I'm an Arizona Coyote, so that's where my mind is
there
at until July 1st. But again, you go through that process the closer you get, like I have been the last little bit, you know, preparing for free agency. So
you got to go put your makeup on for TV. We'll let you go. Thanks for jumping in here.
Yeah,
we appreciate
it. Anytime.
Thanks, Chad.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Chad Johnson, former Flame, Coyote.
Coyote legend.
Coyote again.